And we're off and running. It's full-blown controversy time. We're a full-blown controversy. We're at DEF CONs. I'm willing to say, I mean, good God, I'm willing to go as high as DEF CON 2. I'm willing to go that high.
You're talking about the quarterback position?
Yeah.
I thought there was no controversy.
Oh, this is controversial.
Joe Flacco is your starting quarterback week one and gets Cincinnati. Well, is that not done?
I think that everybody knows that. I'm talking about because...
Oh, you're talking about a backup quarterback or a third string or a fourth string. If you have a second, third, or fourth string quarterback controversy, do you really have one?
I think 216-474-0092. Is this a quarterback controversy or not? It seems to be there. The talk is still the NFL. Even though you have other situations going, well, not the talk of the NFL. I think the Micah Parsons situation is pretty
bizarre. Yeah, that kind of took over everything this weekend.
There's a couple things, but I mean, the Browns are up there. Browns are like top three. Got to tell you, this Shedeur Sanders and the whole Dylan Gabriel thing, and boy, Daryl just took a big can of gas and poured it all over the fire. Took a big can of fire and poured it over the gas is what he did. I mean, this is some strong stuff. I'm driving Saturday morning. When did he send this? Yeah. I'm driving Saturday morning, and I'm getting texts, and my phone just beep, 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 beep. And I'm going, what is, it's all on Daryl's tweet. All about what Daryl said. Good, bad, ugly, whatever you wanted to do. There were people who agreed with Daryl and what he said. There were people who vehemently disagreed with Daryl and what he said. There were people who were cussing Daryl out on my phone. All Saturday morning.
Do you want to tell people the Daryl tweet?
I do, and I should. Albert Breer, this would have been Saturday morning. He said, I don't know how many times I have to say this, but in reality, Dylan Gabriel is ahead of Shedeur Sanders right now and has been since both arrived in Cleveland. Sanders has worked to catch up, but he's got a lot of ground to make up. And then Daryl quotes it and says, I don't know how to say this, but Dylan Gabriel shouldn't be ahead of the ball boys. Every time I watch him, I think to myself, they can't be serious with this kid. And the heat was on.
Yeah, so the first part of it, Albert Breer, right, that has to be true, right? What Albert put out has to be true, or else the Browns would have been operating differently.
You'd think so, yeah. Yeah, you'd think so.
So you didn't find the Albert Breer tweet to be controversial.
No.
Many of our listeners did.
Why?
Because they keep getting all the reports of how bad Dylan Gabriel is. So if Shedeur is behind him, how is Shedeur even on the roster then?
Breer's tweet started with Zach just tweeting that new 11-on-11 period and Dylan was with the ones.
Yes.
That's how it all started there. So obviously if you look at who he's getting to do his reps with, your eyes would tell you he's ahead of Shedeur Sanders because Shedeur hasn't had that opportunity.
What can he get to do? On Saturday.
He just did drills.
Okay. So if you don't have Kenny out there and Joe isn't going to take them all, well, the next one in line is going to be Dylan. I almost said Shedeur. Next one in line is going to be Dylan. So if Dylan's the next one in line, then Dylan's going to take the reps of the ones. Like, we could not like it all we want. I think Friday is going to be the day that we get to see it all. Right? Like, that's going to be, for us and the general public, when we can really start to A, B, C it down the line, it's gonna be Friday because I'm imagining those two guys are gonna play. I'm a little bit worried about Shedeur's arm. I mean, if we're talking about soreness here, arm soreness.
Well, and he, according to, was it Mary Kay? He voluntarily, you know, told the Browns about his situation, and then if you know that was the case, and the Browns obviously did the smart thing by you're not gonna tax the kid. At this stage, you don't want to derail any of his development. These are huge, huge snaps. Every single one he gets at this stage, you know, something new is being thrown at him every single day. And this week coming up is a monumental week, you know, for him to try to prove himself. You know, you're mentioning Friday, but, you know, the real meat of this is going to be the joint practice.
You have joint practice Wednesday. You have a practice today, but you won't, obviously, it's not joint. Then they go on to Carolina, and then they're going to have a joint practice on Wednesday. They'll have Thursday to get ready for the game. They'll have Friday. That's the game, 7 o'clock, right here on your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan. We'll get to see probably a lot of those two guys. I don't know how much Kenny Pickett you're going to see. I imagine we're not going to see any Joe Flacco. So I think that Joe Flacco is probably the starter. I mean, this is bizarre. And I think what some people want to ask, you know, is are we kind of wasting our time here with Dylan Gabriel? I know that Daryl and Nick Padone, were on yesterday during the day on Sunday, and they have their Sunday. And it usually, Sundays have become very explosive between those two here over the last few months. And here are them talking about the Browns putting Dylan Gabriel in a bad spot.
They're putting him in a bad spot. You're forcing me to evaluate this kid like he's a first-round pick. He's not. He's a third-round pick, okay? But I'm having to look at him through the lens of he's a first-round pick. It's clear that you're trying to prepare him to play this year. And I think that that is a grave mistake. He's not ready for it. I am evaluating him not as a third-round pick. I'm evaluating him as a guy who they're giving first-team reps right out of the gate. Every day, this guy is first up. Occasionally, it's Joe Flacco. But every day, it's Dylan Gabriel first up. Why?
They clearly love him because he's smart, because he goes into the meeting rooms, and I'm sure he blows them away. And that's what this regime is. It's computers. It's spreadsheets. It's in the classroom. I understand that they really like the kid's intangibles and that he probably is a really good leader and that he's intelligent. Like, that's all really good, promising things to hear. That doesn't equate to winning football games, but they kind of think that it does.
All right, I disagree with both of them on different fronts. First one with Nick, I mean, if it were computer and spreadsheets, and I don't know if you're taking 5'10 QBs. How much do we have? We have Kyler Murray. How much do we have? Honestly, how much? If it's computers and spreadsheets and algorithms, how much do the algorithms point to taking a 5'10 quarterback? Who can move a little bit.
If you don't put that column in your spreadsheet, then...
Well, you got to have it accounted in the spreadsheet somewhere.
Well, is it more the numbers? Is it more the velocity of the throws? Is it because when you see his arm, like when he makes an out throw, it's vastly superior to Shador.
He's got a strong arm.
In terms of just the arm strength.
And that's one of the things that people said it's underrated because... And we remember doing this with Baker because Baker was only 6 feet tall, so people went, well, he's not got a strong arm. It's like, no, he's got a very strong arm. You throw the ball through the wall. Hearing that, I don't understand the spreadsheet conversation, the computers conversation. I don't think analytics would tell you to take a guy like that in the third round because it raises people's eyebrows. So you would do the John Dorsey, like, or the Hugh Jackson, I should say, even. You got to trust me on that because I don't think that analytically it would have taken you to take him in the third round because everybody seemed to be surprised. And I think even analytical people were probably surprised by that. The other part, and where I disagree with Daryl on it, is, okay, Joe's not going to take a lot of those first-team reps. There's going to be minimal for Joe because Joe's 40 years old. He's been doing it for 17 years. Well, they want to get the best out of everybody. Well, if Kenny's not able to really go in a team setting, who's going to get the first-team reps? So they're bitching about it on Sunday. What I don't get, and now I'm getting mad, because I got Daryl slapping tables. Well, Shador Sanders said he had arm soreness. Right? Right. Kenny Pickett still returning from a hamstring injury. Joe's Joe. Okay, well, somebody's going to have to take the first team reps. They can't play with 10. So it's going to end up being Dylan Gabriel. So why do I have to evaluate Dylan Gabriel as if he's a first? Why do they force Daryl to evaluate Dylan Gabriel as if he's a first round pick? Dylan's not starting week one.
No.
So why is Daryl getting so pissed about Dylan Gabriel starting, taking any first team reps? If Shador were healthy on Saturday, then I go, well, maybe Shador should have taken some first team reps. You were going against the first teamers. Maybe Shador should have taken some first team reps. Shador should have taken first team reps, and then we'd all be moving on. Sorry, go ahead.
Remember what Nathan Zagura told us on Friday?
That he should be taking first team reps.
He thought Shador Sanders had earned those first team reps based on what he had seen.
So maybe he would have on Saturday had he not self-reported arm soreness.
Which would stink then because then it's just a missed opportunity. And, you know, at this stage of the game, just same thing when we talked about Kenny Pickett, missed opportunity because of his injury, the hamstring injury that he suffered that kept him out. And now he's just in individual drills. You remember he was going to be reevaluated and, you know, we were going to see this week if he were actually going to be able to participate. You know, with the rest of the team, when they do this practice on Wednesday with Carolina, and then you have the preseason game, I haven't really wavered off this since the day we figured out that there were going to be four quarterbacks and then, you know, a fifth one watching from the weight room. Like, this was always, to me, going to be a faulty plan to try to get the best out of any of these guys. It seemed to me that this was going to be self-sabotaging.
Well, there's not a lot to go around. There's not a lot of time and opportunities to get on the field with each other to go around.
But Zach Jackson, you know, I was talking to him over the weekend, and on his pod, he said this was, you know, a traffic jam. It was a self-induced traffic jam. And I thought that's the perfect way to put it. That's what this is. They're all in each other's way. And are you really going to see one emerge in the way that you were hoping? Like, me and you talked once we heard about the Pickett stuff last Monday, because that happened over the weekend. Last Monday, we said, all right, quarterback competition's over. So that's the end of it. And then some people tried to say, well, Pickett's coming back. Pickett still hasn't been in those team drills. And we're not even sure what he's going to be able to do this week. It would be really hard for him to overtake. I just think Flacco at this point, I guess Flacco put some nice days together finally after an abysmal start for him. So I don't know. Are we in the same, like, what would Kenny Pickett have to do or anybody? But it seems to me it's been pretty much Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco for the starter, and the other two dueling it out, the rookies dueling it out for the backup.
I don't think there's anything they could do. So, again, hearing that snippet of audio from Daryl, I'm going, Daryl, you're getting yourself way worked up more than you really need to. And this is coming from me, a guy who gets worked up all the time, because it's exactly what you just said. Like, Joe would start the season, and then I think that the difference starts to be, okay, you got three preseason games. You're going to have live bullets coming after you. You got those two guys there. Okay, we'll see what they do. If but Dylan Gabriel goes out there and struggles, then I don't care how well he knows the offense, he's still struggling. And if Shedeur Sanders goes out there and does well, all right, maybe Shedeur has some things to learn. But again, I'm not asking either one of these guys to start on September 7th or whenever they start the season.
Isn't this the byproduct of this situation and the minute they took Shedeur in that pick where me and you lost our minds because we were having so much fun with it at a local bar?
Yeah.
That the only guy that most people care about is Shedeur Sanders.
Yes.
And he's the one guy that seems like he's getting the least chance when the coach said it was going to be a quarterback competition. And if the fans care about that guy and they feel like he's not getting a fair shot, and the media, anything they write or say about that guy is the stuff that gets blown up the most. Like, it just stands to reason that he's the guy that's going to be under the microscope more than anybody else, as well as the guy he's competing with. And that guy he's competing with has been abysmal, to the point where Kevin Stefanski basically admitted how bad he's been. And the people that have kind of dropped
he said it's
been really, really bad.
He did say he had a... He did say he had a bad day yesterday. He did say he had a bad day. Here's Daryl and Nick a little bit further on it yesterday.
Things get so loud if Shedeur Sanders outperforms Dylan Gabriel. Because
you know what?
It's what everybody's kind of secretly expecting to happen, because we know that the ceiling is higher with Shedeur, and the floor probably is as well because of the intangibles, because he's bigger and he looks more like an NFL
quarterback.
There's
no secretly about it. We are expecting it because Dylan's been that bad on the practice field. Now, to be fair, it's not all been a disaster, but this week, been a disaster.
I just wonder if it gets loud to a point.
Overexposed this week.
I don't know that they're going to be able to keep hiding behind this developmental shield forever.
It's going to get loud if Shedeur outperforms Dylan Gabriel. Shedeur Sanders is a star. Dylan Gabriel is not. He's got a smaller fan base, but they are. Like, I've had cuss out emails and stuff about how you guys all treat Dylan Gabriel. It's like, well, I'm not the one making names or anything like that. I'm just trying to call it like it is. Obviously, he struggled. I'm not saying anything nasty about his size. Can't help his size. But again, I was surprised, and you were surprised, and you haven't taken weird shots at him or anything like that because of his size.
No,
either.
But when they took him, just
we
all talked to some people that we trust and people we know. And, you know, you throw that out there and people are like, this is one of the biggest reaches that I can remember at quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, where he was taken with where he was evaluated by most teams, they said, man, the Browns must clearly be in love with him because nobody else is. And you were hoping he'd hit the ground running, and he's done the opposite. He looks totally overwhelmed. And for him, like, we keep talking about this whole thing for Shedeur. It's actually been more unfair for him, if you really think about it, a third-round pick and then they go take a quarterback who's way more popular than him two rounds later. That is a recipe for really undermining a kid's confidence. And then maybe the team doesn't care about that. Maybe the team's like, hey, we want the guy to emerge. So we're going to throw a bunch of obstacles at these guys, and then one will emerge. The problem is you have all these guys that need reps in one way, shape, or form. And then, man, when Kenny Pickett is healthy, he's going to steal reps again.